Hi, today is September 23rd, 2018. This is MobiView's podcast 269. I'm Todd Agosto-Ward, my good friend John Westfall. And today, I think, unless John wants to add anything, we only have two topics.
Two topics, but we could probably do a half hour, because that's what we generally do.
That's what we do. It's our thing.
Reason. Yes.
Yeah. So the first topic is going to be all the Amazon Echo announcements that came out last week, which were, I think it was a surprise, wasn't it? I was surprised.
It was a surprise, and it was a comprehensive surprise.
Yeah.
Amazon obviously is, you kind of get the impression sometimes from Amazon that the things that they're doing are maybe half-baked, because they trickle out here and there, but they don't come out in any kind of coherence like, hey, look, this is what our vision is. Right. But I'd say after last week, we know what Amazon's vision is.
Yeah, they...
And it is, we will automate everything in your life.
You will be assimilated. Resistance
more or
is futile.
Less.
Yeah. But anyway.
I mean, even taking aim at things like smart plugs, which, it's interesting. So the iHome smart plugs that I've had issues with for the last 5 months connecting to Alexa, all of a sudden started connecting to Alexa about a week ago.
Oh, interesting.
And reliably. So I was happy about that. All I can figure is that maybe the folks at iHome started thinking, oh, crap, we got to get the bugs worked out of our system, because now Amazon has their smart plug, which is about $5 to $10 cheaper than iHome's.
Yeah. Let me try something, because my TP-Link smart plug has not worked with my Echo in months.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using my phone to turn the thing on and off. Alexa, turn lamp on. Nope, doesn't. Wait, let me go look. Hang on. I got to go look where the lamp is.
As Todd is walking away, I will note that the way that I know the way I know that my iHome works is that when I go into the iHome app, if I pull up any of my outlets, it says connected to iHome Cloud and HomeKit.
Right.
Previously, it was just saying connected to HomeKit, which meant that my Apple HomeKit devices worked just fine. I could use Siri to turn on and off the lights without a problem. I couldn't use Alexa because Alexa goes through the iHome Cloud. So I don't know. I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. I'm very glad that this now works. I would not want to buy a smart plug that only worked with Alexa. I think it has to support Google and Apple's platforms as well. But, man, Amazon, they doubled down in a big way with all these things. And it was the smart plug that made me think, they see this as a whole home.
Ecosystem,
And the microwave.
Yeah, or as some people pronounce it, ecosystem, which drives me nuts, but that's okay. But it would be appropriate this time. Ecosystem actually makes sense. They should call that the Amazon ecosystem.
That might be the next thing. But, even I think the microwave is the one that you look at and you go, I guess you could put a smart, connection into a microwave.
Yeah.
It's a cool setup of systems.
Yeah. Anyway, before I forget, so the second topic is I bought an iPhone XS, not an XS, as so many people say. It's a XS. That's Apple. Apple can't count any better than Microsoft. So, it's Microsoft Windows 7, 8, 10. And similarly, it's iPhone 7, 8, 10. S.
9 is just not a beloved number.
9 is not a... I don't get it. I don't think 9 is a bad luck number in any culture I'm aware of. But at any rate. 4 is, by the way. And there was an Apple 4. But at any rate.
It is in technical culture, apparently.
I guess so. I guess we missed a lecture on that one, John.
I guess we did.
Yeah.
So, what are the things that you're thinking about the Amazon ecosystem?
Well, first, let me go through this ginormous list, and I'm not even going to try to describe all of them. John already mentioned the smart plug. You mentioned the Echo-enabled microwave. So it doesn't actually have Echo in it, but you need an Echo device to talk to it. But there's an updated Echo Dot. There's an updated Echo Plus, which has a Zigbee radio and a thermometer, which I find kind of interesting. So the temperature in your various rooms of the house if you have an Echo Plus in there. There's an updated Echo Show, which predated the smart display with Google Assistant that I recently bought. And so, do I have slight buyer's remorse? Maybe. I'm not sure. It's about the same price. An Echo subwoofer. And this is, you know, John, I think, mentioned it's competing with the Sono stuff, and that's one aspect of it. The Alexa, new Echo. So this is now new stuff. So the smart plug John mentioned is new. The Echo subwoofer is new. There's something called Alexa Guard, which is a home security system that uses your Amazon Echo devices with microphones to detect when someone's in your house, when they're nobody should be there. I don't know what it does with dogs, but at any rate, and cats for that matter, or birds, or any other pets you might have. The one thing, there's a new Echo Auto, which I am interested in. We'll talk about that in a minute. There's an Echo-enabled clock. Now, I would have found it much more useful if it were a, what is it called? Oh, they have that little round thing. But anyway, they have a little, there's a little Echo Show-like device with a display, a round display. Now, if that made it a clock, I would have found that much more interesting. But the clock only shows timers and time, I think, so not so interesting. There's an Echo Input, but it's Echo Input, which is kind of like a Chromecast. So you plug it, you know, bring your own speakers, BYOS, and you, you can toss your sound out through it. So the Echo Input itself has no speaker. And finally, it's not an Echo device, but they have a new Fire TV called Fire TV Recast, which has both a built-in DVR and a built-in antenna to get over-the-air TV. So you don't need to, if you're a cord cutter, you know, you can get over-the-air TV if you want to get sporting events and things. Now, I happen to live in a valley with no TV signal to speak of, so that wouldn't do me any good. That's why we have to have, if you want to watch TV or have internet, you have to have a cabled solution here. So of the various, let's say, dozen things that were announced, and I think the entire product announcement they did, the live product announcement, I think it was like under 15 minutes for all of these products. They just were
looking at all these great things that are happening. It was kind of, we're not going to take up a lot of your time.
Yeah, I watched the announcement, and you know, Apple drags their thing to 2 or 3 hours now, right? To announce like three things, you know, they have to show you how you make it and the wonderful metals they use and whatever, anodized paint. Amazon just said, here are our things, man. One per minute practically, and they just ripped through it. I had to actually take notes and pause the video and stuff to figure out what they were talking about. But anyway, the Echo Auto I find kind of interesting, if nothing else because of its price. If you get invited to purchase it at that price, so it's going to be $50 normally. And they're going to, if you put your name in for an invitation and they, you know, you are, and I suspect everybody who wants an invitation will get one, but it'll be $25, so half the price. I think you do some testing. So you plug it, well, not plug it, but you put it in your car. It connects via either an auxiliary audio port or Bluetooth. And you need, I think, a smartphone with Wi-Fi to share with it. It doesn't have its own LTE or Wi-Fi from what I can tell. And I presumably talk over Bluetooth to it. And it can do, you know, directions and all that stuff. So I think the interesting thing, though, is, you know, because Siri is so useless, at least on my phone, and Google Assistant, because of the limitation of the microphone on my phone, probably doesn't hear me all that well when I'm driving. But it'd be interesting to be able to ask questions of the Echo while you're driving, you know, aside from directions, which our phones do quite well already, and the Echo Auto doesn't have a display, so you can't see a map. Not sure that if that means its audio directions will be superior to what we already have, and what we have now is pretty good, I think. The rest of the stuff, you know, I've already got two Echo Dots, and I've got... Wait, is that true? Yes, I have two Echo Dots, and I've...
If you just go, Alexa, how many of you are around me right now?
Yeah, exactly, right? Count off. The Echo Show, if I didn't have the Lenovo smart display, might be interesting. Subwoofer, no, I'm not enough of a music fan anymore. Do that smart plug, kind of interesting. The Guard, maybe. I didn't really check how much it costs or what the monthly, presumably it has some kind of monthly fee for the service. Clock, probably not. Not unless it gets some smarts. The microwave, nah. It's very inexpensive. I think it's $60. But it does require an Echo product, you know, like an original Echo or Echo Plus or something to actually control it. Echo input, probably not. Fire TV recast, nah. Like I said, I can't make use of the DVR because I can't get TV signals here through the over-the-air antenna. But so, John, nothing on that list interests you?
Oh, actually, no. A few things do interest me quite a bit. So we've talked a little bit in the past that I have a Sonos system in my apartment. Yep. I have a Sonos speaker in pretty much every room.
Mm-hmm.
The hallway doesn't have one, but every other room does have a Sonos speaker. And the nice thing about Sonos is that I've had very little issue with it, but for what I paid for it, I really shouldn't have any issue with it. And Amazon, there is a skill, an Alexa skill, that lets me connect to my Sonos system through Alexa.
Oh, nice.
So that's nice. I can tell Alexa, you know, hey, I think the other day I had a bunch of speakers grouped together, and I said, Alexa, play the Hamilton soundtrack in The Office. And since The Office was in that group, all the things that were connected to it started playing, and it was kind of nice and quick. But here's the problem for Sonos, not for existing users. For existing Sonos people like me who have bought into the ecosystem, they don't have to worry about us going anywhere because we're all in with them. But if I was going back 4 years ago and thinking, gee, what do I want? And this was available, I would have gone all in with Amazon.
Mm.
Because with the whole house, kind of the multicasting that the Echoes can do now, where they've said basically the speakers will be able to be paired up and play music and all of that, that is much more flexible. And the inputs are much more flexible. Sonos, if you're not streaming from the cloud, your input listing is pretty limited. The entry-level speakers don't have any manual inputs. The soundbar, that is the input for the surround sound when you have two of the speakers, the subwoofer and the soundbar, it takes optical in.
Oh.
And nothing else.
Oh.
So if you do not have a way to get optical in, you are out of luck. So that's why my setup goes through my Xbox One.
It makes sense for a high-end device, though. I mean,
yes.
You know, it's understandable.
But let's compare that with the Echo Amp, which is $200 and has every kind of input you would ever imagine. You can do digital inputs, analog inputs, coax, whatever you would like to do. And it's a lot more flexible. I mean, the Sonos 5 is the only speaker, and it costs about $500. It's the only one that has a 3.5 millimeter input. So if you have a piece of equipment you'd like to play through, you know, so for people who have stereo systems, hi-fi systems that they want to keep using, Sonos has never been as friendly as the Echo ecosystem will now be for those.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see how I can sort of pair out my existing home systems with Echo. I would like to take a look at the clock, actually, because I'm curious if it can display timers and countdowns that you set with the Echo Dot. Because if it can, that would be nice to have in the kitchen, because the Echo Dot can be the, hey, you know, set a timer for 10 minutes or set another timer for 20 minutes and actually see all those timers without having to ask for an update.
Yeah. You just reminded me, I forgot to mention the Echo Link Amp and the Echo Link.
Yep.
That wasn't in my list. That's crazy.
I think Amazon took a big leap this week with basically saying, hey, we're not just doing one thing. We're doing a lot of different things.
Yeah.
So there will be something for everyone in there.
And they also released an SDK for third parties so that they'll be able to integrate their third-party hardware products. One mentioned in this article I'm reading on The Verge is a Poke command bar that'll, you know, be able to talk to the Echo ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
So, lots and lots and lots of stuff. The Echo Link amp is $300. The Echo Link is $200. I guess it's a link with no amp. And the subwoofer is kind of pricey, as I recall. Oh, no, it's not that bad. It's $130 if you need a subwoofer.
I mean, that's better than Sonos.
Yeah.
Although, now, quality is something that you do have to be concerned about with things like a subwoofer.
Sure.
So I'll give you some example. My subwoofer, which is a Sonos subwoofer, cost, I think, around $700,
$800. Ouch.
But when I play something heavy with bass, absolutely nothing shakes in my house. Hmm. The floor doesn't shake. The windows don't shake. But you feel the vibrations through the air. So the padding on it and the way that it's designed is very nice in that you do get the feel of the music and you feel the bass.
Right.
But it doesn't give you that experience that your house is going to shake apart.
Right. And presumably doesn't drive your neighbors crazy.
That's what I hope. They don't complain much, but one of them is rarely home and the other is 90 years old. And I don't know if she even hears what
this is anything true.
Through the wall. So
hearing is one of the first things to go. It's just physiology. And
it might go very quickly with having me next door with a Sonos system. I don't know.
In any case, there were a ton of, I only briefly summarized them because, quite frankly, I didn't have time to go read about all of them. I am kind of intrigued by the thermometer and Echo Plus, although I'm not going to run out and buy one just to get a thermometer for however much that costs. I think it's $100-something. Smart plug, I need to go revisit that. Although now that my TP-Link plug is apparently working, I'm happier. That reminds me. Alexa, turn lamp off. Okay, so I forgot to turn it off when I turned it on. So might you buy the smart plug or do you already have enough smart plugs?
Well, I think I want to keep the smart plugs that I have now because they are HomeKit compatible as well as Echo. That's going to be the important thing for me is will I be able to maintain my ties in the Apple ecosystem as well as the Amazon ecosystem.
Right. And I'm just looking up the smart Wi-Fi plug. Is this the right one? Oh, no. This is a different brand. Okay, I guess you can't order it. You can't find it on Amazon yet. I found an Alexa-compatible Wi-Fi plug, but any rate. Compatible wireless. Yeah, I don't see it. That said, the TP-Link plug I have is rated 4.4 stars on Amazon. So, anyway. And now that it works with my Echo again, I'm happy. I should note that it went through a rough patch. I even had problems controlling it from my phone for a while. And it was completely, unfindable by the Echo for months now. Maybe it started working, but I didn't realize it. Okay, let's see. I don't see a price for the smart plug. Yeah, I don't see a price for it. Presumably, what did you say the price for the smart plug was?
I saw it listed somewhere for, around $20 or $24.
That's pretty darn reasonable. That's pretty darn reasonable. Okay, so that's our take on it. So I've got an interest in the smart plug and the Echo Auto. I'm mildly interested in the clock, but since it doesn't have a speaker, I'd like to be able to ask it for new speaker and microphone. Not as interesting. It's basically just a peripheral for your Echo. Okay, moving on.
Moving right along to your initial impressions the 10S.
Right. So John has had the 10. Now, John, how big is the 10? Is it smaller than the 7 Plus, which you used to have? I mean, way smaller?
Yeah. Noticeably smaller than the 7 Plus.
Okay. So I got the 10S instead of the 10S Max because having had the 7 Plus for 2 years now, I don't like my left thumb to be in a constant hyperextended mode. Basically, it's in pain. Not a lot, but, about a year ago, I guess, when I noticed the pain, I decided to, use it more two-handed than before to, not have that hyperextension of my thumb or whatever you call it. So I got the 10S, and the 10S is way smaller than the 7 Plus. And when you say, oh, it's got it's got a bigger screen. No, not really. It's got a larger diagonal screen measurement, but really it's basically a little longer than, you know, on the Y-axis is a little larger than the 7 Plus, but it is also way shorter on the X-axis. So square inch-wise is probably a wash, which is okay with me. So basically it's, you know, it's roughly comparable to the 7 Plus, a little taller, but a little less wide. I had to ask John, outside of the podcast, John, what do I do with no button on the 10? And John kindly explained to me that, oh, you just swipe up, which is exactly the way Pixel 2 works. And I should note, it appears to be exactly the same size as my Pixel 2, which I find very comfortable to use. So that's kind of nice. Let's see. So let's go down my list. I moved from a 7 Plus to a 10S. This is important. I learned that if you want a bag, because I had the iPhone box and I had some other stuff in there, you know, a receipt and some other stuff I wanted to throw it all in one place. So I asked for a bag, which used to be, you know, comp, right? So after spending over $1,000 on a phone, I had to spend 18 cents to buy a bag. it's a nice bag, but still.
Is it a bag that you could see yourself enjoying for many years to come?
Yes, exactly.
Good 18 cents.
It is a sturdy and stylish bag, for sure. But still, seriously, you know, if somebody spends $1,000, just throw the bag in, Apple. I mean, come on. Now, the next thing is a little bit more concerning, and that is this. So when I spoke to the salesperson, who seemed like a perfectly nice guy, I asked him twice to make sure, you know, because it's been a while since I changed phones, 2 years to be exact, right? I said, so when does the phone activate? And he says, oh, the phone doesn't activate until you turn it on. I go, fine. Because I needed to run some errands after buying the phone, and I didn't want to go through the trouble of, you know, downloading all the apps and contacts and all that stuff for my new phone. So I paired my watch with the new phone, or I tried to. No, I forgot to. I forgot to pair my watch. Anyway, so I'm walking out, and I'm about 60 feet away. No, a little bit further. I'm a couple hundred feet away. I'm almost to the parking garage, and I was going to let my wife and daughter know that I picked up a new phone. And I got no service message on my 7 Plus. I'm going, what? I didn't turn on the new phone. So it turns out that the activation of the new phone and the deactivation of the old phone is pretty much immediate. I would say within 15 minutes of completing the transaction, my old phone was turned off and my new one was turned on. So I headed back to the Apple store. I said, hey, let's open my new phone together to make sure it's actually working and actually have phone service. So we popped the box open. We took a look at the phone. We turned it on, and sure enough, it had service. So that was fine. And now, of course, it was, you know, it wanted to update itself and all that kind of good. Not the firmware or software, but it wanted to update all the apps and contacts. And I didn't want to go outside with, you know, I didn't want to let it update everything over cell network. You know, I have a limited data plan. I don't have an unlimited plan. So that took a while. Then I walk outside and I'm thinking, oh, my watch isn't paired. So I go back to Wi-Fi range and I try to pair it, and it pairs, and I walk back out. So I'm walking about 60 feet this time. I notice, oh, my watch has that little red dot when it doesn't have a connection to your phone.
And it's a little red X?
Yeah. No, it's a, sorry, not a dot, not an X. It's like a little phone, a red little phone icon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The rectangular, well, let's call it a rectangular icon. Might be a stretch to say it looks like a phone. And I walked back and it said, hey, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I walked out again. Said, you know, it's probably this and that. And I walked out and again, I lost. So I went back in. I made an appointment with Apple Genius. In the meantime, I decided to unpair it. Gave me a message, an error message this time when I tried to unpair it, saying you got to do a full reset of your watch. So while I was waiting for the Genius, I did that. I repaired it. And by the time the Genius got to me, it was working. So, but it took a while. It was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours of stuff because of various and sundry unexpected occurrences. But the main thing is, if you know, you're an AT&T, I'm an AT&T, your phone's going to be turned off within minutes of completing the transaction for your new phone. So don't do what I did and assume you'll work. Well, not assume. I was told it would work until I turned on my new phone. That's not true at all. It deactivates and activates new phone pretty darn quickly. Well under the 1 hour that, you know, they always tell you when you turn on the new phone that activation will take.
And that is worth noting that that might be AT&T specific.
Might be.
Because with Verizon, when I ordered my phone and they shipped it to me, the part of the setup instructions were calling a special number, and at that point it would start activating the new phone. So it could be that there's just differences between carriers, but always good to, if you're going to pick up something at the store, I would always plan that your next move will be home or somewhere where you've got reliable service in case it does switch over real quick for you.
Very true, very true. The other thing I noticed is that not all of my photos that I sync with iCloud synced back to the new phone, so I'll try to deal with that later. But I have my old phone. Although I was under the upgrade plan because I had my phone the full 2 years plus a couple of weeks, I kept my old phone. I didn't have to turn it back, trade it in for the new phone. And I didn't feel like trading it in for whatever, $100 they're going to offer me. I thought it was worth it to have a backup phone in case something happens. Okay, so I mentioned a serious problem of pairing the 10S to the Apple Watch 3. It took 2 tries before it worked correctly, and it is a long process. Unpairing is amazingly long. I'm not sure what it does when it unpairs a phone, but it takes maybe 10 minutes to unpair a watch from a phone. I'd like to know why that is. I think I mentioned I chose a smaller display on purpose and instead of going to the max, and I think I'm glad I did. It's my thumb is like thanking me since buying it. It says, hey, yeah, thanks for not hyperextending me all day long. The one thing that bothered me, I didn't realize it until I looked at the phone closely yesterday. Well, I was still in the store and asked the genius about it. Or not the salesperson about it, I guess. And that is, if you have the 10S versus a 10S Max, your battery indicator is an icon only. There is no percentage available to place on the screen. And that is because the notch takes away so much real estate that they just don't have space to put a percentage there. Whereas the Max has a larger physical display and more pixels, so you can actually put it in there, which is kind of nice. I kind of miss it. I can still see it if I either do a pull down for... No, not a pull down. It's pulled to the side, I guess, to see the notifications bar. Or if I, I guess pull to the side is the best way to do it. So I see I have 87%, but I can't tell that from the display. That kind of bothered me. The other thing, and I was going to ask John, maybe he can tell me about this. This is about the Animojis, right?
Yes.
So Animojis were a thing that came out last year with the 10. And this year there's something called a Memoji. Is the Memoji actually working, or is that something that's going to be an update? Because I can't find it.
I got it working for me. For me, when I went to Animojis, like I normally would, there was a new option that was create your own emoji, and it let me create one, which I then used with a few people, and they told me it was incredibly creepy, and that they asked me to not use it again.
Seriously?
I don't think I'll be using it that often, because apparently my Memoji is really creepy, and people don't seem to like him much. So he might just have to stay living on my phone alone.
Okay, so I correct myself. I did find a new Memoji option. So the way you do it is you click on the monkey, which sounds slightly salacious, but you click on the monkey in the Animoji option and creating a message, and there's a plus sign for a new Memoji. So that's where I found it. Now, John, when you upgraded your 10 to iOS 12, which I presumably you did when I did, do you get new portrait mode options?
I believe I did, but I actually can look at it right now.
So one of the cool things about when the 10 came out that I really envy John for was the fact that the 10 has a studio lighting mode, which creates a very dramatic, or can create a very dramatic portrait of people or animals or whatever. But apparently the new camera portrait mode has additional portrait options. And I was just wondering, you know, there's natural light and there's studio light and contour light and stage light and stage light monochrome. So did all of those exist in the 10, or is that some of those new to the iOS 12?
I'm actually not sure. I'd used portrait mode quite a bit, but it was mostly just with the default setting. Yeah. So I'm not sure which one of those are new, although they are all fun to play with. So
yes, and I've been playing with them. I was also surprised that there's a portrait mode setting for the front-facing camera. So I did a test with me and my mom when I went to visit her yesterday after picking up the phone and apologizing for being late because the phone took up so much time to get set up. But I was surprised it has a front-facing portrait mode. I thought it required the two cameras to do that, but I am apparently wrong.
Hmm.
You know, the other thing I noticed, John, and you didn't mention this to me last year when you got your phone, is...
I feel like I let you...
You just, did!
You didn't know so much.
I know. Okay, so in the 7... So you had a 7 Plus prior to your 10. I have a 7 Plus. And it was the neat thing about the 7 Plus is that it has a second camera for the bokeh effects for fuzzing the depth depth of field behind a subject. So on the 7, the two cameras were horizontal with the flash to the right of the two cameras, all in a horizontal row. Mm-hmm. The camera and flash on the 7, on the 10S and presumably 10S Max are vertical. So it's camera, yes. Flash, camera. And I kind of wonder why they did that. I mean, I'm not going to ask you, because I don't know. I assume you don't know. But just something I noticed is, like, John didn't tell me this. But and I didn't give you
I know. As much information as you needed
I know.
Last year.
I'm really disappointed. But anyway.
I apologize. In the future, I will try to know exactly what you want to know and give it to you completely and without.
You need to read my mind. We've known each other a long time. You know, just read my mind and answer questions before I ask them. That's all I ask. See?
Gotcha.
That's what I'm asking you to do that. But, you know, I'm really thankful that Apple didn't go with the whole route as well. You can only get the second camera if you buy the big phone, the Max. Because even last year, I didn't want the 7 Plus. I wanted the 7. But I also wanted the second camera. So I bought the bigger phone. You know, and my thumb is really angry at me not last year, 2 years ago. My left thumb in particular, which is, you know, how I normally hold the phone and use it one-handed, is really quite angry that I did that. A little bit happier now that I've got a smaller phone. I don't know. I don't think it's enough for you to upgrade. I can't see any reason for somebody with a 10 to go to a 10S personally. But if you have a 8 or 7 Plus like I did, or 7, I think there's a lot of reasons to go from, you know, jump from one of those to this thing. It's quite a remarkable phone.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. I don't see myself having any desire to move, but if I had... anything less than a 10, I probably would be very interested in moving to the 10S.
Yeah. One of my big disappointments with this, by the way, is that I've kind of gone through life never having had an S phone. Because, you know, it was 4, 4S, 5, 5S, 6, 6S, and then 7, but there was no 7S, right? It was the 8 and the 10.
Mm-hmm.
So really, those are the S phones. And this is supposed to be the major release, but... They changed the TikTok cycle. They went from TikTok to TikTok, TikTok, Tok, I guess. I'm not sure. Well, TikTok, Tok, Tok, Tik. Because they released both a new phone, the 10, and kind of a S phone, which is the 8 last year. So now I guess I'm on the S cycle for a while until they change that. But I don't know, John. What as a long time, a 1 year or 10 user, what things do you think I should note on the 10 that I may not have noticed since you've had it for a year now?
Let's see. I have to kind of look at mine to think about this.
Yeah.
Knowing exactly where to pull down from, either the upper right or the upper left.
Wait, there's a difference?
Yes.
Oh.
Upper right will give you control center. Upper left will give you notifications.
I see.
Let's see. They got rid of the biggest problem, and that was how to close apps, because now you can just do it the way you should have been able to do it last year, which was pull up and then just throw the app up from the top. It used to be that you had to pull up, hold one of the apps, and then there was a little X button that would appear. Right. That was kind of annoying. Let's see.
Oh, yeah, there's no X on here. That's an iOS 12 thing, though, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Huh. Honestly, I think you're going to enjoy the fact that your phone will now fit in pockets that yes. it couldn't fit in before.
Yes.
You'll start experiencing that really quickly, and it'll be a nice difference.
Especially, by the way, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, Aloha shirts, and people in Hawaii wear Aloha shirts like you guys wear dress shirts in the mainland. It's our business shirt. Aloha shirts, for some reason I don't understand, have smaller physical pockets than regular shirts. They just are. I'm not sure why they're smaller, because the shirts are they're small, medium, large, extra large, whatever, like every other shirt. But the pockets are tiny, tiny. And an iPhone 7 Plus is probably sticking, I don't know, well over half of the iPhone Plus is sticking out of my shirt when I put it in the shirt pocket of a law shirt. So this will be nicer. I should note that there are no XS cases available at the case I wanted, the OtterBox cases, at Apple Store when I went down yesterday. And so I had to order one. And I guess that's the other lead I left off. I did not pre-order. The iPhone was made available yesterday. I mean, sorry, not yesterday, Friday. And I thought, I'll just go look. You know, maybe I need a question of which button to press when I ordered my phone. But I'll just go look. But they said, and I said, hey, you wouldn't have to have any phones, right? Because there's no line. And they said, oh, yeah, we got phones. What do you want? And I said, you know, I want a XS. I don't really care about the color. 256 gigabytes of RAM. I mean, sorry, 256 gigabytes of storage. And he says, yep, we got it. Any color you want. So that was quite surprising. The day after release?
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I guess we would normally want from these things. But ironically, Apple has conditioned us to think that it's a failure if it isn't hard to get.
Right. And that was my expectation.
I've been so tempted by the Apple Watch 4, even though I have the 3, just because it's just tempting. But I was looking at it and I thought, wow, mid-October, that is much sooner than I would have thought that these would be available for the model I was interested in. So maybe Apple is starting to get their supply chain properly tuned. It just took years and years and years.
Well, you know, it is. I don't know. Maybe it's a cultural shift. Like you said, maybe they don't feel like they don't need to create the. What I always saw was an artificial shortage to drive up enthusiasm for the device. And they are not the only ones. I mean, you remember? You know better than me, actually, since you paid an exorbitant amount of money for an compact iPack. when the iPack was in short supply, and you paid iPhone-like prices for it, as I recall. Yeah. So, in any case,
let's not forget that I am the person that the reason I was quoted in the New York Times as an early adopter was because I shipped $1,000 Western Union to a guy in Dubai to get me an iMate Pocket PC in 2003. Yeah.
And you've been on a no-fly list ever since. No, I'm kidding.
Probably. I probably have been. No, that experience taught me a lot of things about life, one of which was that Western Union will really try to talk you out of doing it.
Really?
So, yes, they assume, I don't know why they would assume this, that if you've never met someone in person and they swear that they'll do something for you if you just give them $1,000, no questions asked, they assume that that might not be legit.
You know, it's probably a pretty good assumption.
I know. They just don't know people like I do, apparently.
Apparently.
Because it was not a problem for me. But yeah. I also don't recommend anyone ever do that. Yeah. People talk about their childhood and their adolescence, and they go, boy, you know, I did some dumb things as a kid. Yeah. That was one of the dumbest things I did, which I think actually means I didn't do enough dumb things. If that was it, but
You know, it didn't result in any injury or, you know, whatever, so, or worse. So,
well, it got me quoted in the New York Times.
It got you quoted, so it's got a positive aspect.
It did have a payoff.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, when you talk to youngsters about some of the follies of your youth, And it ended with me being quoted in the New York Times.
Yeah. Worst decision of my life that also gets me, people probably find that to be somewhat cool that I can say that I was quoted. Although I sort of sometimes wish it was that I was quoted for my academic research and not my early adopting, but you take what you can get.
Sigh. Okay, so a couple other things. I'm still having a hard time getting used to, you know, the whole swiping up thing, even though I already do it on my Pixel 2. So, you know, my kind of my situation learning is device specific, apparently. Mm-hmm. Having used a Pixel 2 for a year with no physical button and, you know, having to swipe up has not transferred to the iPhone XS. To me, that's weird. The swipe and hold thing to get the task manager up, that's still whatever. And you're saying in the old days when you did that, you had to press an X to get rid of the task?
You had to swipe up.
Yeah.
And then long press on one of the apps.
Right.
And then a red X would appear in the upper left, and actually would appear for all of them then.
Right.
You could then kill them individually by tapping that X.
Wow, that's quite convoluted and difficult.
I feel like I'm, you know, an elder talking about walking two ways uphill to school every morning.
In your day.
Let me tell you of the horrors of 3 months ago.
Your iPhone 10, iOS 11 stories are just kind of giving me heart palpitations or something. So I guess, you know, I don't know if I, you know, having had it, let's see, what time is it? I've had it less than 24 hours now. Don't know if I have a lot more to say about it, except so far I like it. I've kind of gotten used to having a physically smaller device. I actually prefer that. Slightly physically smaller screen, despite the stated larger diagonal size. In my opinion, I'm still calling it a smaller screen. I'm waiting for my case to come in, so I'll be a little bit happier when I have a little bit more armor around it. I ordered the OtterBox something. It looks exactly like the one I have on my 7 Plus. And that's about it. We managed to use up 45 minutes of time talking about two things. Well, lots of echo things, I guess, but more or less two things.
We're just experts at using up time.
Yep. Okay, so that's it. A whole bunch of Amazon announcements in their Echo ecosystem, or Echo ecosystem, for those of you who say ecosystem, which I say is wrong, by the way. It needs an H if it's going to be ecosystem, otherwise. And the iPhone XS, which I have finally joined the cool kids like John, who has a 10, has had a 10 for a year now. And I think I'm pretty happy with it. I'll be happier when I get a case, as I said a few minutes ago. And we'll talk to you next time.